Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with The Mystery of Providence from John Flavel. And we are still in an overall part two. It's called Meditation on the Providence of God. And we're in chapter 10 still, The Advantages of Meditating on Providence. And last time we did a section, it was part two, with a couple of points. The points were, I beseech you, consider what an effectual means the due observation of providence will be to overpower and suppress the natural atheism that is in your hearts. And then the next point was, the remembering and recording of the performances of providence will be a singular support to faith in future exigencies. And that brought us up to the next point, which is where we left off last reading. And Lord willing, we're going to proceed with that this time. And I will go ahead and begin now. The next point is, the remembrance of former providences will minister to your soul's continual matter of praise and thanksgiving, which is the very employment of the angels in heaven and the sweetest part of our lives on earth. Mr. Flavel says, if God will prepare mercy and truth for David, he, David, will prepare praises for his God, and that daily. Psalm 61, verses 7 and 8. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. There, mercies from the beginning are recognized. My praise shall be continually of thee. Psalm 71, verse 6. There, the natural result of those recognitions is expressed. There are five things belonging to the praise of God, and all of them have relation to his providences exercised about us. Number one, a careful observation of the mercies we receive from him, Isaiah 41, verses 17 to 20. This is fundamental to all praise. God cannot be glorified for the mercies we never noted. Number two, a faithful remembrance of the favors received. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2. Hence the Lord brands the ingratitude of his people. They soon forget his works. Psalm 106, verse 13. Number three, a due apprehension and valuation of every providence that does us good, 1 Samuel 12, verse 24. That providence that fed them in the wilderness with manna was a most remarkable providence to them, but since they did not value it at its worth, God had not that praise for which he expected, Numbers 2, verse 6. Number four, the stirring up of all the faculties and powers of the soul in the acknowledgement of these mercies to us. Thus, David, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Psalm 103, verse 1. Soul praise is the very soul of praise. This is the very fat and marrow of that thank offering. Number five, a suitable recompense for the mercies received. This David was careful about, Psalm 116, verse 1, and the Lord taxes good Hezekiah for the neglect of it, 2 Chronicles 32, verses 24 to 25. This consists in a full and hearty resignation to him of all that we have received by providence from him, and in our willingness actually to part with all for him when he shall require it. Now thus you see how all the ingredients to praise have respect to providences. But more particularly, I will show you that as all the ingredients of praise have respect to providences, so all the motives and arguments obliging and engaging souls to praise are found therein also. To this end, consider how the mercy and goodness of God is exhibited by providence to excite our thankfulness. The goodness and mercy of God to his people is seen in his providences concerning them, and this is the very root of praise. It is not so much the possession that providence gives us of such or such comforts as the goodness and kindness of God in the dispensing of them that engages a gracious soul to praise. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Psalm 63, verse 3. To give, maintain, and preserve our life are choice acts of providence, but to do all this in a way of grace and loving kindness, this is far better than the gifts themselves. Life is but the shadow of death without it. This is the mercy that crowns all other mercies. Psalm 103, verse 4. It is this a sanctified soul desires God would manifest in every providence concerning him, himself. Psalm 17, verse 7. And what is our praising of God but our showing forth that loving kindness which he, God, shows to us in his providences? Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. As the loving kindness of God manifested in providence is a motive to praise, so the free and undeserved favors of God, dispensed by the hand of providence, oblige the soul to praise. This was the consideration that melted David's heart into a thankful praising frame. Even the consideration of the free and undeserved favors cast in upon him by providence. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that thou hast brought me hitherto, 2 Samuel 7, verse 18, that is, raised me by providence from a mean or low condition to all this dignity, from following the ewes, or the female sheep, to feed Jacob his people, Psalm 78, verses 70 and 71. Oh, this is what engages thankfulness, Genesis 32, verse 10. As the freeness of mercies dispensed by providence engages praise, so the multitudes of mercies heaped this way upon us strongly oblige the soul to thankfulness. Thus, David comes before the Lord, encompassed with a multitude of mercies to praise him, Psalm 5, verse 7. We have our loads of mercies, and that every day, Psalm 68, verse 19. Oh, what a rich heap will the mercies of one day make, being laid together. As the multitudes of mercies dispensed by providence oblige to praise, so the tenderness of God's mercy, manifested in his providence, leaves the soul under a strong obligation to thankfulness. We see what tender regard the Lord has of all our needs, difficulties, and burdens. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, Psalm 103, verse 13. He is full of bowels, as that word, and he has a Greek word in James 5, verse 11, signifies. Yea, there are not only bowels of compassion in our God, but the tenderness of bowels, like those of a mother to her suckling child, Isaiah 49, verse 15. He feels all our pains as if the apple of his eye were touched, Zechariah 2, verse 8. And all this is shown to his people in the way of his providences with them, Psalm 111, verses 2 to 4. Oh, who of all the children of God has not often found this in his providences? And who can see it and not be filled with thankfulness? All these are so many bands clapped by providence upon the soul to oblige it to a life of praise. Hence it is that the prayers of the saints are so full of thanksgivings upon these accounts. It is sweet to recount them to the Lord in prayer, to lie at his feet in a holy astonishment at his gracious condescension to poor worms. All right, that's the end of that point, and he goes on to the next point. The due observation of providence will endear Jesus Christ every day more and more to your souls. Christ is the channel of grace and mercy. Through him are all the streams of mercy that flow from God to us and all the returns of praise from us to God, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 and 22. All things are ours upon no other title but our being his, Christ's. Now there are various things in providence which exceedingly endear the Lord Jesus Christ to his people, and these are the most sweet and delightful parts of all our enjoyments. The purchase of all those mercies which providence conveys to us is by his own blood. For not only spiritual and eternal mercies, but even all our temporal ones are the acquisition of his blood. As sin forfeited all, so Christ restored all these mercies again to us by his death. Sin had so shut up the womb of mercy that had not Christ made an atonement by death, it could never have brought forth one mercy to all eternity for us. It is with him, Christ, that God freely gives us all things, Romans 8, verse 32, heaven itself and all things needful to bring us thither or there, among which is principally included the tutelage and aid of divine providence. So that whatever good we receive from the hand of providence, we must put it upon the score of Christ's blood. And when we receive it, we may say, it is the price of blood. It is a mercy rising up out of the death of Christ. It cost him dear, though it come to me freely. It is sweet in the possession, but costly in the acquisition. Now, this is a most endearing consideration. Did Christ die that these mercies might live? Did he pay his invaluable blood to purchase these comforts that I possess? Oh, what transcendent, matchless love was the love of Christ. You have known parents that have laid out all their stock of money to purchase estates for their children, but when did you hear of any that spent the whole stock and treasure of their blood to make a purchase for them? If the life of Christ had not been so painful and sad to him, ours could not have been so sweet and comfortable to us. It is through his poverty we are enriched. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. These sweet mercies that are born, B-O-R-N, that are born of providence every day are the fruits of the travail of his soul, Isaiah 53, verse 11. The sanctification of all those mercies which providence conveys to us is by our union with Christ. It is by virtue of our union with his person that we enjoy the sanctified gifts and blessings of providence. All these are mercies additional to that great mercy, Christ, Matthew 6, 33. They are given with him, Romans 8, 32. This is the tenure by which we hold them, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 to 23. What we lost in Adam is restored again with advantage in Christ. Immediately upon the fall, that curse, Genesis 2, 17, seized upon all the miserable posterity of Adam and upon all their comforts, outward as well as inward, and this still lies heavy upon them. All that providence does for them that are Christless is but to feed so many poor condemned wretches till the sentence they are under is executed upon them. It is indeed bountiful and open-handed to many of them and fills them with earthly comforts, but not one special sanctified mercy is to be found among all their enjoyments. These gifts of providence do but deceive, defile, and destroy them through their own corruptions, and for want or lack of union with Christ. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them, Proverbs 1:32. But when a man is once in Christ, then all providences are sanctified and sweet. Unto the pure all things are pure, Titus 1, verse 15. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the treasures of many wicked, Psalm 37, verse 16. Now Christ becomes a head of an influence as well as of dominion, and in all things he consults the good of his own members, Ephesians 1, 22. The dispensation of all our comforts and mercies is by his direction and appointment. It is true, the angels are employed in the kingdom of providence. They move the wheels, that is, are instrumental in all the revolutions in this lower world, but still they receive directions and orders from Christ, as you may see in that admirable scheme of providences, Ezekiel 1, verses 25 to 26. Now, what an endearing meditation is this? Whatever creature is instrumental for any good to you, it is your Lord Jesus Christ that gave the orders and commands to that creature to do it. And without it, they could have done nothing for you. It is your head, Christ, in heaven, that consults your peace and comfort on earth. These are the fruits of his care for you. So in the prevention and restraints of evil, it is he that bridles the wrath of devils and men. He holds the reins, R-E-I-N-S, in his own hands, Revelation 2, verse 10. It was the care of Christ over his poor sheep at Damascus that stopped the raging adversary who was upon the way, designing to destroy them. And I believe that's Paul, as in Acts chapter 9. The continuation of all your mercies and comforts, outward as well as inward, is the fruit of his intercession in heaven for you. As the offering up of the Lamb of God as a sacrifice for sin opened the door of mercy at first, so his appearing before God as a lamb that had been slain still keeps that door of mercy open. Revelation 5, verse 6, and Hebrews 9, verse 24. By this, his intercession, our peace and comforts are prolonged to us, Zechariah 1, verses 12 and 13. Every sin we commit would put an end to the mercies we possess were it not for that plea which is put in for us by it, by his intercession. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 2, verses 1 to 2. This stops all accusations and procures new pardons for new sins. Hence it is, he saves to the uttermost, Hebrews 7, 25, to the last completing act. New sins do not make void our former pardons, nor cut off our privileges settled upon us in Christ. The returns and answers of all your prayers and cries to heaven for the removing of your afflictions or supply of your needs are all procured and obtained for you by Jesus Christ. He is the master of your requests. And were it not that God had respect to him, to Christ, he would never regard your cries to him, nor return an answer of peace to you, however great your distresses might be. Revelation 8, verses 3 to 4. It is his name that gives our prayers their acceptance, John 15, verse 16, because the Father can deny him, Christ, nothing. Therefore, your prayers are not denied. Does God condescend to hear you in the day of trouble? Does he convince you by his own experience that your prayers have power with God and do prevail? Oh, see how much you owe to your Lord Jesus Christ for this high and glorious privilege. The covenant of grace, in which all your comfortable enjoyments are comprised, and by which they are secured, sanctified, and sweetened to you, is made in Christ and ratified by Him between God and you. Your mercies are all comprised in this covenant, even your daily bread, Psalm 111, verse 5. As well as your justification and other spiritual mercies. It is your covenant interest that secures to you whatever it comprises, hence they are called the sure mercies of David, Isaiah 55, verse 3. Nay, this is what sanctifies them and gives them the nature of special and peculiar mercies. One such mercy is worth 1,000 common mercies. And being sanctified and special mercies, they must needs be exceedingly sweet beyond all other mercies. For these reasons, it was that David so rejoiced in his covenant interest, though laden with many afflictions, 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. But now all this hangs entirely upon Christ. The New Testament is in his blood, 1 Corinthians 11:25. And whatever mercies you reap from that covenant, you must thank the Lord Jesus Christ for them. Put all this together, and then think how such considerations will endear Christ to your souls. All right, and that is the end of that point, and brings us up to the next point. The due observations of providence have a marvelous efficacy to melt the heart and make it thaw and submit before the Lord. But we're going to go ahead and stop there for this time, and then, Lord willing, go on to that in the next time. But until then, go with praise and thanksgiving in your hearts and on your lips to God. And may we bring forth these praises and thankfulness to Him every day, and indeed, especially for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made all these things possible. And in Him and through Him and to Him are all things. Anything that we benefit temporally, spiritually, and eternally come by and through Him. And may we be forever and eternally thankful to Him and for such great gift as Christ, the gift of His Spirit, the Father's gift of Himself to us, and so great a salvation. And Lord willing, we will talk to you again soon.